Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Episode 225. Today we are reading Chapter 19 of the novel, The Unspoken Prayer Request, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Quentin Rodney called Mother Jameson's residence early on Monday. "Hello, Mother Jameson, this is Quentin Rodney. Good morning to you."
"Good morning, Mr. Rodney. This is Aubrey. Mother is out taking care of some church business. Is there something I can do for you?"
"As a matter of fact, you're the one I really needed to talk with," he replied.
"The court informed me today that someone, being represented by attorney Charles McGinnis, has decided to press charges, accusing you of killing your husband."
"What?"
Aubrey sat down as her knees suddenly felt weak. "Do you know who this person is?"
"Yes, it's a Destiny Roberts, the woman we saw on Jamal's cell phone the day the private investigator came to your house to make sure we did not overlook anything. Remember I answered your husband's cell phone when it rang?"
"What exactly is she saying?" Aubrey asked.
"She's saying that you caused your husband's death, even though we know that the gun you purchased had nothing to do with Jamal's death. Miss Roberts is saying that you bought the gun specifically to use on him.
She says your husband told him that you had threatened several times to shoot him."
"Oh, no, 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 that's not true."
"Stay calm, Aubrey. You have got to understand that from the court's perspective, there were no witnesses," Mr. Rodney kindly reminded her.
"Let me ask you this, honestly, why did you buy a gun?" Mr. Rodney asked.
Aubrey took a deep breath.
"One of my friends mentioned that she was going to buy a gun to protect herself. She mentioned that I needed to protect myself from my husband after I told her how crazy he could get if he had been drinking. But I only intended to use it to scare him. Mr. Rodney, I never pulled the trigger on my husband, even during our last altercation."
"Did you ever tell Jamal that you would get a gun?"
"No, I never did," Aubrey said. "It never once entered my mind to shoot my husband. I only purchased the gun to use in self-defense. And that is why I pulled it out that night. He was choking me, and I was hoping that when he saw the gun, he would stop. But I did not pull the trigger."
"I believe you, Aubrey, because according to my investigators, you bought the gun new and it has never been discharged at all in its history. Right now, we are waiting for the autopsy report. That will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you did not shoot your husband and that his death was completely accidental based upon his own actions."
"What do you want me to do in the meantime?" Aubrey asked.
"The best thing you can do is pray," Mr. Rodney said. "Because charges have been filed, the initial court date has been moved back a few weeks so that we can prepare our case."
Before hanging up the phone, Mr. Rodney secured the names of those who would be testifying on behalf of Aubrey.
Aubrey sighed. "Be honest with me, Mr. Rodney. How are things looking? What are my chances of putting all this behind me? I don't want to spend the next 5 or 10 years of my life dealing with this."
"Like I told you, my faith is in God, and I'm very confident He will see us through," Mr. Rodney said.
"From what we have gathered and from what you have shared with me, you should be cleared.
Aubrey, I strongly believe prayer changes things. You need someone to pray with you during this time."
"I do," Aubrey agreed.
"Whatever my clients go through, I always encourage them to not only learn from that experience, but to use it to help others who may be in a similar situation."
"Why, thank you, Mr. Rodney, and you're right. I will be praying about the case."
As soon as they hung up, Aubrey looked up Charles McGinnis on the internet. The picture on his law firm site showed an elderly white gentleman with a stern expression on his face. "He sure looks tough," Aubrey thought. Jamal's funeral was set for 1 o'clock that Wednesday afternoon at the All Saints United Methodist Church, where Jamal had been a member as a child. Even though he had not attended church services there, or anywhere else for that matter, since the beginning of high school, Pastor Givens still remembered him as a child.
"Jamal McIntyre was a pleasure to have in our church. I remember when he was born, he was a feisty little fellow. He was always doing things to make people laugh. He told me he was going to be a comedian. I remember once Jamal's mother invited me and my wife over for dinner. Jamal and his brothers decided to play a trick on me. After I parked my car and was going around to open the door for my wife, I heard them shouting, 'Pastor Givens, there's a snake getting ready to bite you.' A snake? I made a beeline for the house and left my poor wife in the car. I thought for sure I saw a snake because I saw something moving in the flower bed.
It turned out Jamal and his brother were moving the garden hose back and forth in the grass. They ended up walking my wife into the house. We all had a laugh over it. But that's the kind of person Jamal was. Aubrey, who was sitting in the fourth row with Mother Jameson and Jamal's mother, smiled as she remembered their dating days. They were filled with fun because Jamal was a bad boy who made her laugh and kept the excitement going. But she had to admit that Jamal had changed after they got married. Some of you may be wondering if Jamal is in heaven today, Pastor Givens said. I can assure you that he is. How do I know? I led Jamal and his brother to the Lord myself. I remember it was an overcast Sunday, but 10-year-old Jamal came bounding into the auditorium with his sunshiny smile. Hey, Pastor Givens, he said. Aubrey smiled. The Sunday he got saved, the title of my message was, Are You Ready for Death? And I gave examples of people who died but who were not ready for death. I remember ending my sermon with this statement, If you cannot remember a time when you asked Jesus to be your Savior, then you are not ready for death. I also told the congregation, and some of you were in the audience, that if you want to be ready for death, then you must ask Jesus to be your Savior and begin living for Him. When I asked those who wanted to be saved to come to the front, little 10-year-old Jamal, followed closely by his brother, were the first to come up. I made sure that they believed in their hearts that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day by the power of God. And according to Romans 10:9-13, I prayed with him and his brother as they both asked Jesus Christ to save them so that they could be ready for death. I could see the sincerity in Jamal's face, and I saw the tears flow from his eyes. I know that he's in heaven with the Lord right now. Amens rippled through the audience. It was very comforting for Aubrey to know that even though her husband died a tragic death, he was in heaven. Now I ask you the same question, the pastor said, and I believe Jamal would have me to ask you the same question. Are you ready for death? If you want to be sure that you are ready, please believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day by the power of God. If you believe that, please pray with me this prayer and mean it from your heart. Almighty and most merciful Father, I am not ready for death. I am not ready to meet you. So now, Lord, I ask you to prepare me for death, for eternity. I do believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I now trust him as my Savior. I ask you to come live in my heart and change my life today and forever. Amen. Aubrey's friends, Jennifer, Kelly, and Simone, attended the funeral to support her. Kelvin, Simone's fiancé, and half a dozen of Jamal's basketball buddies attended as well as many others. Jamal's family and friends, many of whom Aubrey had never met except for briefly at their wedding, were also present, and all of them bowed their heads and prayed the prayer of salvation to make sure that they were ready for death. So Jamal's tragic death was used by God to bring over 100 people to the Lord. Jamal's family members spoke good words about him. The Jamal Aubrey knew before they got married fit most of their description of him, and even though there were some smiles and laughter, it was a somber day. A mother was burying her son, and a wife was burying her husband far too early than they should have. When Aubrey and her mother went up to view the body in the casket, she could no longer hold her composure. The tears flowed freely. Even though her marriage had not worked out the way she thought it would, Aubrey still loved her husband. How she wished things had turned out differently. Jamal's mother joined them as they viewed the body. She loved her son deeply despite the bad choices he had made, and even though it would have been easy to blame Aubrey for his death, she tried her best to keep thoughts of that nature out of her mind. This is no time to get angry and bitter. That's not going to help anybody. To Aubrey, the scene felt like an unpleasant dream. One she wished she could walk out of. She could not believe she was actually viewing Jamal's dead body. God, I wanted to get out of that bad situation, but not like this. Why did it have to end this way? As Aubrey returned to her seat, a young brunette wearing a black pantsuit was walking down the aisle to pay her last respects. Aubrey thought it must have been one of Jamal's family members, and she looked up to offer a smile. The woman's gaze shot daggers into Aubrey. A look of pure hate was written across her face. Aubrey suddenly realized that she had seen that face before. The casket was taken out of the church to the church's cemetery, half a mile away. The sun, which had been out earlier, was now hidden behind gray clouds. At the gravesite, the small crowd watched solemnly as the casket was lowered into the ground. After Aubrey watched the men toss dirt onto the casket, she reached for her mother's hand, indicating that it was time for them to leave. Mother Jameson, placing her arms around Aubrey's shoulder, walked with her to the car. Simone, Jennifer, Kelly, Kelvin, and others followed close behind. As Aubrey opened the passenger side door to her mother's car, the same young woman she had exchanged glances with in the church crossed her path. She stopped and looked directly at Aubrey, the same look of hatred emanating from her face. "You caused his death," the woman hissed, wagging her finger at Aubrey, "and you're going to pay." Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So until next time, may God bless you.